been murdered. Other friends have flown before. On the morrow he will leave me, as my hopes have flown before. And the bird said nevermore.
You're listening to The Call Podcast with Brandon and Josh.
Welcome, everybody. How's everybody doing out there? What's going on, Ravens Nation? You are listening to The Call. It's a Baltimore Ravens podcast where we talk anything and everything Baltimore Ravens football. Thank you for listening, streaming, or downloading on iTunes, Stitcher, the Baltimore Sports Report Network, and now TuneIn Radio. Joining me as always, we got my buddy Josh. What's going on, man?
Hey, man. I'm doing all right, man. What a tough loss to endure, man.
Very, very tough loss. Very good game. Yeah. As a sports fan to watch. It was very different than week one. But what an ending there. Terrible ending. You never want to see that. Looking at it a few times, that very much looks to me like a flop. Like it was a deliberate, you know, fall trying to get a flag thrown. You never want to see a game decided like that. But I'm not going to put all the blame on the Bengals and the way that that guy plays. I'm going to put the blame on the Ravens team because if they would have played a little bit better, if the defense would have been able to hold up a little bit more, they wouldn't have been in that situation. So this isn't all just on that one play. But to see a game go from the Ravens and the Bengals really fighting it out, the Ravens, it looked like they're coming out on top, and then for to be decided like that, that's a real tough pill to swallow.
It is, man. And I won't go on the side of I'm not blaming the refs. The game shouldn't come down to a call. You should never get it like that. If the Ravens, again, I said this in the Indianapolis podcast when we lost there, they get inside the 1 yard line, inside the five, onto the one, you gotta put the ball in the end zone, man. They outthink themselves. I don't know what QBX calling Brandon, but I'm very frustrated. You know, you're pounding the rock all day long, and you get down there and get cute and go, okay, we're going to outsmart them because they're expecting runs to run a pass. And it was a sloppy pass at that. Joe had a small window. He threw to Aiken, which is not one of our sure-handed receivers.
Right.
It just was a bad play all around. And that set the tone for the day. It was like that. You knew it was going to be that kind of day. Same thing in Indianapolis. They did the same play in Indianapolis down there on the goal line. It doesn't work. At times, it's just you have to think what is going through their minds when they're game planning for that. And I know, you know, sometimes you got to get away from the game plan, but I didn't like that call at all. You stick with the run there. If not, full back the use check, or, you know, and even then, you know, when I see quarterback sneak, my whole problem is with quarterback sneaking Flacco, he has to do it all himself. You see any Dalton quarterback sneak, the whole team pushes him across the line. I've never seen that with the Ravens. So I don't know if the effort wasn't there. They played horrible, man. From route running to the secondary on third down, being very lazy in the secondary and letting big plays, Sanu killing us again. I don't know what it is with the Bengals and tip balls, but Sanu called a tip ball, and he knew it was going to be that kind of day. You know, it just was bad all around, from special teams to defense. The defense, I would say they played okay. They kept us in the game, Brandon. They kept us there, and the offense had plenty of chances, especially when we went up 21-20 and we got the ball back off the interception again, and what Flacco should have done down there is take the offense right down and score a touchdown. It would have been game, set, match, and instead of field goal, kept them in it to win it, man. And last second ditch effort, and with the call, like Harbaugh said, it was one of the greatest plays he's ever seen besides the Mile High Miracle. It was a great play. You know, Joe Flacco throwing it, it would have been an 80-yard play to win it. It would have been a sick play, one of the plays of the premier plays of the year already. And I don't know, man. I mean, I've watched it. I could see where he flopped in. I watched it to where Smith did grab a little bit of the jersey, especially where the NFL logo is on his jersey. So I really don't know. In that case, I take it back to 2012 in the Super Bowl when, you know, fourth down goal line stand and Kaepernick threw it to Crabtree. You know, both of the defenders were fighting, and Crabtree ended up, you know, shedding the defender. It looks like he pushed off. If he'd have caught it, would have that been a offensive pass interference call there? And I know the 49ers were shouting holding, but both players were trying to make a play. They were scrapping for the ball. The ball there was uncatchable, speaking of Super Bowl 47. And this one was catchable, and obviously, T. Smith. So I don't really know, man. It's, you know, The professional Mike Pereira, he broke it down and said it was a piss interference call. Skip Bayless actually defended this from ESPN, saying it wasn't, should have been a no call, should have been the game winning touchdown. Thank you, Skip. I don't know what to think, man, but again, all around disappointing play. And like I said, I was confident. You know, 27-10 win, I predicted. I was confident in the way, you know, where the Ravens were heading and where the Bengals were going. And it proved to be another battle. And the AFC North, you just got that much tighter, man, because the Browns won, Steelers won in big time fashion. The Bengals beat us and they swept us, and we're all jumbled up there, and we just lost the stranglehold of first place, and it could have been ours, man. I'm so disappointed.
I'm very disappointed. That was really a heartbreaking game, and I the offense really wasn't clicking, and it was very evident. I with Owen Daniels missing, you know, you do have Joe Flacco. You know, with losing Dennis Pitta, his security blanket was kind of gone, and he looked like he kind of grew to like Owen Daniels, and the two of them were clicking, and then Owen Daniels doesn't play. But really, I got to bring this up, and you know, I've been harping on it all season, but the misuse of Marlon Brown. Owen Daniels goes down, and you got to imagine Marlon Brown would make more of an impact than he did during this game, but he was hardly used in this game at all. I was very
Where's he been, man? And then given that, not only Marlon Brown, but they went to Super and all, you know, in the absence of Owen Daniels, they went to him twice, and then you know, threw him the whole rest of the game. You know, Joe Flacco's main outlet is his tight ends, and is Owen Daniels a big loss? Maybe. You know, Dennis Pitta, absolutely. But then on the other side of football, Jimmy Smith got hurt. So in the secondary, and he's going to be out a few weeks with a sprain. So it's just, it's unfortunate, man. It's just next man up again. But these injuries, man, and if Flacco was, you know, God forbid, he's run for his life. There was a lot thrown at us. I mean, it was a game. Again, you know, look on paper, you know, like I was just discussing this weekend, I wanted to bring it up. You know, the Colts lost by 7 and the Bengals lost by 3. If you look on paper, okay, a loss by less than 10 points, you look in a one-score game, you're thinking, okay, both teams fought valiantly and hard, and it just took a last-second field goal. No, the Ravens played horrible and they were in it. Not okay, but horrible. Now, if they played okay to decent, you would think they could win these games, man. That's why I'm like, they could be, instead of 5-3, they could be easily 7-1. It's just I don't know what's going on, man. But the problem with this year right now is they got to capitalize on some things, you know. When the Bengals turn the ball over to us, you got to capitalize and put them on a 7, because that's what happened to us. There's a difference in the game. Flacco throws a pick, the Bengals turn that to 7 points. There you go. They went right down and made it hurt. Every time we force a turnover, we need to make them hurt on the scoreboard and put 7. Not 3, but 7. I know it's a lot to ask for. It is the NFL, and it's a lot to ask for, but it needs to be 7 on the board. I'm getting tired of getting inside the 5-yard line and come away with 3 or 0 points. I love the fact that we went for it on fourth down. I love the fact that we weren't scared and went all the way down to their doorstep, and it just was one of those sucky plays, man. I was just beside myself when that happened. I'm like, really? We all knew it was going to be a play action, but again, you got to stick with what works, man. I don't know, man, but it's a tough loss to swallow, and you know, not to jump the gun a little bit. It takes a little the little hype out of Steelers week, because here we played horrible and we got Roethlisberger, who just threw 6 touchdowns at 500 yards. I'm telling you right now, man, I'm a little scared right now. What's going on? I'm concerned. Scared could be a little outrageous, but I'm concerned because of the injuries and because of the way the offense plays. I know the Ravens going to get up for this game, but coming from the Bengals game, man, it just was. You're right. The misuse of Marlon Brown, the misuse of the offensive weapons. Torrey Smith, I don't know what the heck he's doing, man. Besides him getting his bell rung on the routes, he needs to run routes better. I don't know what's going through his head, and I know he put his cell phone down for his distractions, but Brandon, I'm just frustrated.
Yeah, I think everybody's frustrated, but this offense just seems so mismatched. I mean, yeah, misusing Marlon Brown, Torrey Smith, like you said, going back for a concussion test and then rejoining the game. He hasn't been playing well. Jacoby Jones, once again, fumbles another football in the end zone, so he couldn't go and try to run it, you know, at the end of the play. So this offense really doesn't know what's going on. Joe Flacco, he's got plenty of talented guys out there. If Owen Daniels is out, you know, you could have a guy like Marlon Brown step up. You got a big guy like Juszczyk, and he's a great, he's shown he's got hands and he's got legs. He can do what he needs to do. So the offense, really, it just seems like it's a bunch of young guys that don't have a lot of experience that the coaches are mismanaging. And if you listen to the pre-show at all, they were talking about our offensive coordinator possibly only being here this season because they're expecting him to get another head coach job next year out west, because they're expecting a lot of firings out west on the west coast of the NFL. So I'm very interested to see what happens next, because obviously the offensive coordinator here either isn't the right fit for him, or it's not the right fit for Joe, or one or the other doesn't know this offense very well. It's interesting to see what's going to happen. And then also look at a guy like Marshall Yanda, who had to leave the game, eventually came back, but he also suffered an injury. So you got an offense that is broken down, that is injured, that is not going to be playing at 100% leading into week the second game of the year up against the Steelers, the bitter rival of the Ravens. So I don't know what's going to happen come next week, but let's stick with the Cincinnati game just for right now. I don't know if you saw this, but I posted up on the Call Facebook page, facebook.com/thecallpodcast, cheap plug there. But our buddies at the Baltimore Sports Report, they put out a story about Bernard Pierce and how he was on the sidelines. He was inactive on Sunday, but he was healthy. So the coach decides not to go with Bernard Pierce, one of the guys who's the veterans of the running backs on this team. And Terrell Suggs comes up to him and talks to him. And there was a debate about what Bernard Pierce said. And it looks like he's saying, moving, they're going to trade me. So obviously something's going on, at least in his head, and it doesn't look like he's going to be a part of the Ravens much longer for him, because he's also tweeted stuff out like, need a realtor ASAP. So to me, it seems like he's already checked out and that he's ready to go, which you got a guy like Justin Forsett who is playing great, but to back him up, you got a guy who is not doesn't have as much experience as a guy like Bernard Pierce.
Well, Tad Feller has been playing well, and the rookie has done rightfully right. So, and he got the two touchdown scores. He had a great run, the scoring the later touchdowns. I mean, I can kind of see that, and it really sucks. It's the business, the NFL. I thought Bernard Pierce was going to be a formidable back for us, but with Forsett and with, Rice getting released, now Forsett's kind of like, okay, now we're playing the hand that we're dealt, and here we go. And we need help. So, and I think we need help in the secondary and the receiver. So I think with the Ravens and the trade deadline looming, I think they're going to look into more than likely trying to wheel and deal Pierce, because we have three good backs. We're using two of them right now. So now we drafted Taliaferro for a reason. Obviously, we went and wasted a draft pick for him. Forsett, a great addition. And I think Forsett's probably going to sign long-term an extension for us in the coming months or probably next year. I can see that happening, and Forsett being the starter in Baltimore come next season. And maybe of multiple seasons to come. So now, and I was even wondering too, because I'll talk about fantasy, but I had him on fantasy team. When I got the word he's inactive, I'm like, he wasn't on an injury report. So you're right. It has to be something underlying there that we do not know about. And I CBS did show him talking to somebody on the sideline. I don't know if it was Suggs. It could have been. But he didn't look himself. He didn't look happy. So I know something's a brew, and we'll see what happens. But that is a good point.
Yeah. We'll see what happens. So this Cincinnati game was definitely one that was fun to watch, but not the thing they really want to see. I do want to bring this up, though. This is actually pretty cool. We have been talking about how Torrey Smith hasn't been playing well. And we all know about the story going on about the Bengals signing a guy and leaving him on because his daughter has cancer. Devin Still. And they said that if you buy Bengals jerseys, a portion of the proceeds will go to the child's, cancer treatments and everything. Well, Torrey Smith put on Instagram a couple weeks ago that he bought like five or six of those jerseys. Apparently, he handed out those Bengal jerseys to fans at the stadium in Cincinnati this past Sunday before the game. Even though he's not playing well and everything like that, gotta say that is really awesome of Torrey Smith doing that, going to a rival stadium and getting jerseys, supporting a guy who's trying to save his daughter and make sure his daughter beats cancer, and to give them out to the rival fans there, jerseys, giving jerseys out to kids. That's really cool.
That is, man, and it speaks for Baltimore itself. You know, I know we always get a lot of bad rap that, you know, the Ravens, you know, and this is outsiders talking that we're a bunch of thugs and troublemakers and, you know, we play dirty. And that's a really good story, especially given the aftermath of the loss and how bad Torrey's been playing lately. Well, with all that aside, it's great to get back to the community, great to be in the community spotlight, especially outside of Baltimore, on the road in enemy territory. So I applaud Torrey Smith very highly. I speak highly of him, and I always think highly of him for doing that. And that's what shows what a Ravens is all about and giving back. And, man, if I can give the guy a big hug right now, I would. And that speaks for all of us, man. And hopefully we can learn from that, and we strive to be more like that. And, I mean, it takes a big heart to do that, and I can applaud it because I'm one to do so. I have a big heart myself personally, and I can sympathize with that and empathize with what's going on. You know, I've had cancer in the family myself, so it is a big deal. It is Breast Cancer Awareness Month, so and it is a feel-good story for not only the Ravens but the NFL in whole. So congratulations, and I applaud Torrey for doing so.
Yeah, absolutely. So anything else we should cover in Cincinnati, or should we move on to Pittsburgh week?
It was a tough loss, man. I think with all the casualties and everything, I think we need to move on, and we have a big, big test looming for Steeler Week, sir.
Absolutely. So before we get into Steeler Week, we're going to take a quick break. Here is a word from the Baltimore Sports Report Network.
The Call is a member of the Baltimore Sports Report Network. Find more podcasts like this at BaltimoreSportsReport.com.
All right, everybody, here we go. It's Steelers Week Part 2. The Ravens are going to Pittsburgh this
time
around.
Say that again. Part what?
Part 2.
I love that. It reminds me of Talladega Nights with the French guy.
Yeah.
Sacred Ape, Part 2.
Part 2. Here we go. But let's
part,
start.
Oh. Put it that way. Part, oh,
we might be calling it that next week on the show. But let's talk about this. Jimmy Smith, he was carted off in this game against Cincinnati. He's got a foot sprain. He's going to miss a few weeks. How big of an impact is the loss of Jimmy Smith to this team up against a guy like Big Ben? Because the secondary was already hurting. Now to lose Jimmy Smith, a guy who's been pretty constant this season, I got to say, personally, that is a giant huge gaping hole, and I'm a little worried about what Big Ben's going to do to that hole.
Hey, Brandon, you got a thesaurus handy? Because we need to look up all the synonyms for big, huge, and giant, because we need them all. Because this, I laughed when this happened, and I saw what Big Ben did on Sunday. I said, I actually talked to a Steeler fan today that I know personally, and I said, dude, I'm going to shake your hand right now. I said, I'm not conceding defeat because I'm confident, but after seeing that, I'm just like, I'm expecting Big Ben to throw another 506 touchdowns. That's ridiculous, especially now that we lost our best corner. I mean, I'm not saying that I'm losing confidence in our guys and our secondary, but if you look at it, man, there's nothing there that screams, oh, we're going to go in there and beat them again, because, again, that we had him week 2 in our house. This is a totally different scenario. What the Steelers did on Sunday to the Indianapolis Colts, I was impressed with. I hate to say that, but I was like, really? I'm watching this game thinking, and the Colts pulled it within 10 points. The Steelers are winning, I think, 28-10 or 35-8. They were winning big. And when my buddy texted me saying the Colts were coming back and I saw the score was 44-34, I was like, are you kidding me? That was a great game in itself. I mean, T.Y. Hilton went off. I mean, for football enthusiasts, it was a great game. I hated to see Steelers winning. And for implications with that, but now that we're tied at 5-3, respectively, and with the AFC North being that much battle, this is going to be a war. Again, if you've ever heard by now, you must be in a hole. But Ben Roethlisberger threw 500 yards and 6 touchdowns. One of the best games ever from a quarterback to date. Impressive, to say the least. I never expected that from him because he's not really flashy kind of a thrower. And with the weapons they have, I'm not concerned with their defense. Their defense is old and slow, and they got problems. I mean, Colts put up almost 40 points on the board. And again, they did let the Tampa Bay Buccaneers drive down the field for a game winner. So I've seen – and we held them to 6 points on offense, so, and we scored 26 points against them. So I'm not really concerned, but what concerns me is with Jimmy Smith being out, you're right, it is huge, it's giant, it's whatever you want to throw in there, because they got Antonio Brown, they got this rookie Bryant who caught a multiple touchdown game. Heath Miller always gives us problems up the middle. I mean, and Le'Veon Bell in the running game, it's just – I can just sit here. And I'm not even on the team – coaching respectively in game planning form, and I'm stressed out because this is going to be one of those games, man. And not only that, but we have to wait all day for Sunday Night Football, which is great because I love primetime, and Ravens Steelers is built for the primetime, and I love how both of our games this year are primetime games, and this time it's going to be in their house. I like our chances going to Heinz Field because we're not really scared. It's something with Cincinnati, man. We can never win in Cincinnati, but Pittsburgh, we got that down. It used to be not like that, but now we got it down. But, Brandon, this is going to be one of those AFC North wars. We're 5-3 in the thick of things, man. If you look at the AFC North, and the Bengals they swept us. They're in the – we at 4-2-1 with the winning percentage. We're 5-3. And second tied with the Pittsburgh Steelers, and the Browns are right behind us at 4-3, man. And they are at a bye in there, so they're half a game back. This division is tight. And when I say tight, there's no room. This is a must win for the Baltimore Ravens this weekend, my friend. If Ravens lose here, that's two straight divisional losses. They'll be 2-3 versus 3-2 in the division with the final divisional game at the last game of the regular season at home. So they could go 4-2 in the division, which I really hope that's the case. It's really hard for me to predict this game because of the matchups with all the injuries. I'm confident. I'm confident enough that the Ravens can put this behind me and go, you know what? We let one slip away. The Ravens are going to be that much more pissed off going into this game. They're going to be that much more fired up. Suggs, you know he's the leader on that defense. You know he gets up for Ravens Steelers. I mean, he wears the T-shirts. He gets us fired up. There's no better place to play in enemy territory than Pittsburgh on a primetime game. And Sunday Night Football, this is going to be a bunch of fun seeing these two teams land on the line. And I think we're going to come out with licking our wounds because not to say anybody's going to get hurt, but this game is going to – man, we better rest up, man, and these players know what's ahead of us because this is going to be a tough task, man. I don't know if you see any glaring concerns, but other than what we didn't do in Cincinnati, we need to do in Pittsburgh. We need to be on that doorstep. We need to force a turnover. We need to turn them into points to make them hurt on the scoreboard and show them we need business. And we took them to the woodshed at home. So I don't know if it's going to be the same day. I mean, like I said, they were comparing the week one to week now, the Cincinnati game, and that was a totally different scenario. What about Pittsburgh? You know, we won 26-6 in sound fashion on Thursday Night Football in week two. We looked impressive. Now, 5-3, both teams. Where do we stand? It's going to be a war, man.
It's going to be a big-time war, and the thing that really worries me is, the whole thing worries me, but all of our injuries that we got going on, I mean, Torrey Smith, he got his bell rung, he did a concussion test, it didn't seem like anything was really wrong, but at the same time, even if you just have like a little bit of a concussion, that can linger, so we'll see what he does on Sunday. That could definitely be a factor. He's not playing well. Jacoby Jones isn't playing well. Marshall Yanda had to leave the game for a little bit, get something worked on, and had to come back. Owen Daniels, who knows if he's going to play? Dennis Pitta is out for the season. I mean, the team is beaten up. I would feel a lot differently up against the Steelers if we had a bye week before them.
Because exactly.
I feel as if these guys are just worn out, they're tired, and as much as Suggs wants to say that they love Steeler week, and I love his passion up against the Steelers, it's one of my favorite things about being a Ravens fan is how worked up he gets about it because you see how much he enjoys it. But with all the injuries on offense, with Jimmy Smith hurt, with the secondary really – with the secondary really just not doing well at all this season. I mean, you don't have Asa Jackson.
Which is huge, by the way.
Yeah, absolutely. You do have Lardarius Webb, but you really haven't seen him do his thing the way he has in the past because he did start out the season hurt. You don't have a guy like Chris Canty. The team is being held together with like Band-Aids and duct tape right now. So to go up against a team and against a guy like Big Ben who threw 500 yards the last game, that is going to be a huge, huge test against this team. I would love for the Ravens to come out swinging and prove how big and bad they are, but it is going to be a rough one. I would say on defense, I feel as if this game is going to be won by defense. The offense, they're going to try to run it. They're going to do their thing. I don't have a lot of faith in the passing game, which is really sad given how many weapons we have, but I have no faith in there. So if this game comes down to it, it's going to come down to defense. And I think the key to this game is going to be Terrell Suggs, Elvis Dumervil, and Haloti Ngata getting to Ben as quickly as possible. And let me throw C.J. Mosley in there as well, because the dude is the bright shining light of the defense this season. C.J. Mosley's done an amazing job. So throw all those four guys in there. If they're going after Big Ben and not letting him get settled, get his targets out there, not letting people get open, that's the key to shutting him down. Because you give Big Ben time, he's going to throw it as far and to whoever he wants, because you know they're right. not going to be covered.
You're right. And they're going to exploit that. If we're not ready and if it's going to cause a problem, you're going to see it real early in the game. They're going to go, tell you what, whoever's in Jimmy Smith's place, better get game up and get ready, because they're going to come right after him. And you know it. First play, I'm already calling first play of the game for the Steelers offense is going to be a pass to whoever's taking Jimmy Smith's place. I don't know who it is yet, but be ready, son. Be ready, because they're going to come after us. And one thing I want to say, too, from a side note of all the game planning and talking is, I got into war of social media on Sunday, and I never really on social media during the games, but I've been trying to do more so to follow the beats and follow what's going on out there. But I got into a war, and I'm going to say this right now. If you're a Joe Flacco hater, or if you hate any part of the team, you should not put on the purple and black. You should go find another team like the Dallas Cowboys or something, or jump on those bandwagons. I don't tolerate that. I was getting a little bit worked up because, it's on somebody's Facebook feed. Oh, Joe Flacco, and he's a piece of garbage, blah, blah, blah. So I posted on his feed that Joe Flacco is 70, and I think this was dating back to like a few weeks ago, but I said Joe Flacco is 71 wins, including postseason, most since 2008. And he was beating Brady, beating Manning, beating Breeze, beating all those guys, and even Aaron Rodgers. And I was just like, he has a bad game, but some of the stars have a bad game. I said, Drew Brees is 2-4 this year. Does that mean he sucks? No. I was like, Drew Brees just went out and played lights out on Sunday night against the Packers. So it happens, and Joe Flacco he was the fastest to throw 5 touchdowns in 16 minutes in a football game. Calm down. And the guy was like, it's my opinion, F off and all that. So it just, I just don't believe you can be a Ravens fan and hate our quarterback, which is the greatest quarterback since our franchise was brought here in 96. We could be the Jets. If you want to you want to whine about it, could be the Jets fan who, just benched Geno Smith and they brought in Michael Vick, and they're horrible. They're 1-6. So I don't have time for that, and there shouldn't be any time for that in Ravens Nation, for that matter. So we shouldn't put up with that. So I just wanted to rant on that a bit, Brandon. I was getting a little fed up with that. So, yeah, Joe has a bad game. But lay off, because I'm sure you were singing his praises when he threw a Mahi America. I'm sure you were singing his praises when he was a Super Bowl MVP. And I'm sure you were singing his praises when he threw 5 freaking touchdowns against the Buccaneers. So I laid that to rest, because I was a little bit fired up about that. Shouldn't happen.
Yeah, I'm a huge Joe Flacco supporter. I think the guy is doing a great job. He does make mistakes like any other quarterback. I don't think Peyton Manning or Tom Brady or any of those guys have ever not thrown an interception in their career. So,
of course.
Joe Flacco, yes, he does throw them, but so does every other quarterback. And by saying, they should just put Tyrod in because that would help motivate Joe.
Yeah, that gets my nerves.
How would that motivate Joe? I mean, come on, honestly, be like, oh,
he won't lose his job.
Let that guy do it. Yeah, I'll go take my hundreds and hundreds of millions of dollars and I'll be fine. All right.
And he's got his ring already. See, he's already earned his money. That's what people don't understand. It's like playing bad and substitute to threaten him is going to change. I mean, look at DC. I mean, they put Colt McCoy in, he won a football game. They got a quarterback controversy. I mean, you can make other cases in the NFL where quarterbacks really suck. Joe doesn't. So, yeah, he has a bad game. Now, if he has a bad year and it continues, I can see the case like, oh, yeah, well, he's tapered off and his career could be over. But no, calm down. The dude's won, I think, at least half his games since he's been in the league. He's played every game since 2008. Leave the guy alone. Give him a break. I mean, it's just appalling, man. Being a Ravens fan, I just don't think you can be a fan and really crucify your own guys like that. It's just because and it's the same thing with Cleveland. It's hypocritical. And when I speak of Cleveland fans in general, it's with the LeBron thing. You were hating the guy when he left, and then now they're all probably buying LeBron fans and going to the game on Thursday and buying tickets. And, oh, LeBron, LeBron, LeBron. No. You hated the guy from day one, you can't be a supporter. And that's the way I look at it. And I don't think you can be a fan of this team, because Joe is the focal point, the centerpiece of this team's success. So the team succeeding, it's hard to root against the guy. So if you root against them, it means you root for against the team, in my opinion. That's how I look at it. But I just wanted to at least bring that to light, because that was very frustrating to me.
Yeah, absolutely. So, big question here. What do you think the final score is going to be for Ravens-Steelers?
It's a million-dollar question. Out of desperation, It's tough because my heart of course says Ravens, but my gut says Steelers in this case, and it's hard for me to pick. I can't do it. Again, I really hope the Ravens do it, but I'm going to actually pick the Ravens in a very, very crucial portion of the game. It's going to be a field goal. I say 23-20 Ravens. I'm going to be very cautious with that, but I say cautiously 23-20 Ravens.
Very good to hear. Very good to hear. I'm kind of torn with you. I don't want to bet against the Ravens. They always seem to surprise me when I think they're down and out. And as much as on paper, it looks like the Steelers are going to win this one. I'm hoping absolutely for a Ravens win. I'm hoping they surprise me. I'm hoping that these guys come out with fire in their belly and they're ready to go. So we will see what happens on Sunday. But as a Ravens fan, I got to be rooting for the Ravens. I can't say no. I think that the Steelers are going to win because that's just embarrassing.
It is.
So did we miss anything for this show?
Not a chance, man. We got it covered. We just need all steam ahead once on Sunday Night Football, brother.
As I said at the beginning of the show, there are many ways to listen, stream, or download The Call. We are still on iTunes, Stitcher, and the Baltimore Sports Report Network, but over the weekend we decided we were going to join in on the TuneIn Radio app, so you can now listen to us there. So guys, definitely check us out. TuneIn, it's a free app. You can download it on the Google Play Store or on the iTunes App Store. And a really cool thing about this app, not only can you listen to our podcast, but you can actually listen to other radio stations that are from the Baltimore area on TuneIn as well. So if you want to listen to us before the game and then listen to the broadcast of the Ravens game on another local station around here, you can do that on the TuneIn app. How cool is that? So definitely check that out. We are on thecall.brandocash.com if you want to listen to archive shows. Maybe you want to listen to what we said about Steelers Week last month. So definitely do that. If you want to continue the conversation with us, let us know what you think of the show. Let us know how you're listening to the show, okay? So tweet to me at Brando Cash. Tell me how great this show is. Tell me how much you love The Call. Tell me how much you love me. Tell me how much you hate me and how, you know, you're going to put a rock in my candy bag on Halloween when I'm going trick-or-treating. That's fine. Just let me know what's going on and what you think of the Ravens heading up against Steelers. Josh is on Twitter as well. Where can people tweet to you at?
Always tweet to me at ItalianGQ52.
Very cool. Now, we are telling you guys to be social with us. We need you to be social about the show, okay? So write us an iTunes review. Tweet to Stitcher. Tweet to iTunes Podcast. Tweet to the Baltimore Sports Report. And tweet to TuneIn and tell them that you love listening to The Call. And the other thing is you got to tell your friends about the show. We, again, had another great week last week. We had over 1,000 listeners again. Thank you guys so much for tuning in. Help us grow even more, even bigger than before, okay, guys? So let people know on Facebook and Twitter and Tumblr and Pinterest and Instagram and Vine and Reddit, anywhere you are social on the web. Let them know I'm a Baltimore Ravens fan. I listen to The Call and they should too. So that's pretty much it for The Call this week. Hey, it's a spooky, spooky week up against the Steelers. Halloween is this Friday. Josh, get us ready. Take us out the way you always do.
Brandon, thank you very much, and spooky indeed. Happy Halloween to all. Like I said, it might be a spooky week, but it was a little spooky how the Ravens played, but I'm not scared against Pittsburgh. I'm concerned, but not scared, as I said before. We got to go up here and take care of business. We've been waiting all week, and we're going to wait all week for Sunday Night Football, Ravens style. You know how it is. Ravens get up for Sunday Night Football, and it's always the Steelers. It just makes it that much more sweeter. And how about the holiday weekend? That much more sweeter by beating these rivals and putting these terrible towels to rest in the season sweep, and I would also love that. How about you guys? And I'm fired up as usual. This is a must win. Both teams are 5-3. AFC North is a tight, tight race. We need to come out of this at a 3-2 divisional record and a 6-3 record on the season. A 5-4 record would just be a little tough to overcome. So we need to take care of business, Ravens style. With all the concerns aside, we need to put that behind us. Cincinnati's gone. Moving forward to Pittsburgh. We got to lick our wounds, as Brandon said. We're down and out. We're down, but we're not out. You know, we got some guys on the mend. We got some guys out. But next man up is always with this team, and I'm looking forward to a big-time war and a rivalry game in Sunday Night Football. Heinz Field is the site. 8:30 kickoff. I cannot wait because I'm been waiting all week for Sunday Night Football, and I can't wait to get it started. Prime time. Ravens, Steelers, Steeler week of Baltimore. Let's unleash the hate this week, and happy Halloween. 1-3 Ravens fly high to Pittsburgh, went out with a win.
This has been a production of Brando Cash Entertainment. Music by Brad Lepore and Daniel Kelly from the DBK Studio. For more information, go to BrandoCash.com.